And this morning, I want to talk to you about a Christmas carol that was banned. Christmas carol that was banned. And it's a Christmas carol that's really well known around the world, but it actually has a bit of a famous, an interesting and famous story behind it, which I'm going to share with you this morning. But when we think of light, we can actually think that light shines brightness in the darkness. Like when you light a candle, it gets rid of the darkness, doesn't it? It gets rid of the darkness. And so what is great is that when Jesus enters our world, in fact, in John chapter 1, it talks about him entering the world and the light of the world coming and the darkness being defeated by the light. So there's a Christmas carol that was banned. And I'm wondering if you know of some Christmas carols or some songs that have actually been banned before. Now, there are actually some songs that get banned on the radio. Now, of course, if someone writes something really perhaps raunchy or something a little bit, it's going to be banned. But in times of war, there are actually some songs that they stop playing on the radio. And I'm going to share some of them because these songs, apparently, this is what the BBC had to do when the war came. They had to ban these songs. Now, see if you know these songs and think about why were these songs banned when there was a time of war. First one I've got up there is a Bob Marley tune. So being a bit of a Jamaican myself, that's right, Karen. Our father, Kylie and my father, knew Bob Marley. That's our claim to fame, isn't it? And Bob Marley wrote a song called I Shot the Sheriff. Now, when the war came, the Gulf War, that was a song that was banned. Can you think why? Why would they ban that song? I shot the sheriff, but I did not shoot the deputy. That's what it says. Another song that was banned, see if you can name the artist. It was called In the Air Tonight. Who knows what artist that was? Phil Collins. I can feel it coming in the air tonight. Oh, Lord, I think that's the lyrics. That was because in the Gulf War, there were like missiles, right? And so that song was banned because it had another meaning. Who wrote the song, Give Peace a Chance? John Lennon wrote that song. All we're saying is, give peace a chance. Why would that be banned in times of war? Interesting, isn't it? It's actually a really good song, a positive song, but maybe not appropriate when the governments, you know what governments are like? No, we don't play that on the radio. Another one was, who knows who wrote this song? Everybody Wants to Rule the World. Who knows that? This is going back to the 1980s. I know the answer. Does anyone else know the answer? Everybody wants to rule the world. I think Carly would know this, right? We kind of grew up with... No, it's not Spandau Ballet, but it is a British band. I can give away a free candy. If you can name the band. The Beatles, not the Beatles. 1980s. Culture Club, a very close guess because it's from the same era. They also had another song which was called Shout, Shout, Let It All Out. Who knows? Wham is another good guess. It's all from the exact time and the right country.
Take That?
Yes, it's not Take That. No. My sister gets it. Tears for Fears. Tears for Fears. They wrote a song called Everybody Wants to Rule the World, banned in a time of war. Because I guess it's a song that's saying, isn't it terrible that people want to rule the world and they don't care about other people? And then I think you can all guess the artist for the next one. Waterloo, I Was Defeated, You Won the War.
ABBA.
Yes, Vera knows. ABBA. So, yeah, when you think about it, I was defeated, you won the war. That's not what you want your country people to be singing when we're marching off to war. So those were banned. But what we're going to talk about is the Christmas carol that got banned. Why did it get banned? Now, what's interesting is the backstory to this Christmas carol. Now, in 1843, there was a man by the name of Placide Capot. He's French. He was a poet. He was an artist. He liked wine a lot and sold it. And if you look into him, he was actually missing his right hand. You could maybe search and find out why he was missing his right hand. I don't know. Now, he actually wasn't a churchgoer. And at some point, a little bit later on, after he wrote something very special, he actually walked away from the Christian faith. But he wasn't a churchgoer, but he was a poet, and he was a really good poet. So the local parish priest said to him, "Placide, can you please write a special poem for Christmas?" And he kind of thought about it and thought, well, I'm not really a churchgoer, but he did think, hang on a minute, I can do anything. I can sell wine, I can write poetry. He thought, I'm going to give this a go. So he thought, all right, since the priest is asking me to write it, I'm going to do it. And so he was actually traveling on a train, and he was thinking, how am I going to write this song? And he went to the book of Luke and started to read about Christmas, as was presented so well to us today. And he's reading that story, and he gets inspired by it. And the actual passage that he reads on the train is this one. It says, "Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, 'Glory in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests.'" He saw that and he was so inspired by those words, because for a moment on the train, he actually saw himself going to that first Christmas. He saw himself going to that first Christmas and being caught up in the story. And so he decided to write a poem. And even though he was not really a participant in the Christian faith, he thought, oh, this is a pretty good poem. He thought, I like this poem. And he thought, it could be even better if we had some nice music for it, right? So he thought, who's going to write me some music? So he thinks, who is the best composer that I know? And he goes to a man by the name of Adolphe Adam. Adolphe Adam. And he was actually a Jewish composer. So for him, he found the request a little bit strange, because in his faith, they didn't celebrate Christmas, and this baby in the manger didn't mean anything to him. But he thought, I'm a pretty good composer. I can put something to this. And so he put some beautiful, beautiful, beautiful music to it. And so they came up with this song. And the song quickly became really popular because it had great lyrics and it had beautiful music. Now, what happened, though, was that sometime the song started to spread around and different churches started to sing it. But at some point, Placide decided, no, I'm no longer into Christianity. I completely disown it. I disavow it. And so when people in the church heard this, they said, hang on a minute. We've got this beautiful Christmas song, but it's written by someone who is now saying they don't believe in Jesus. And it was even, the music was written by someone who's not even a Christian. Why are we singing this in our churches? And this is actually what was written about it in 1864. It said, "It might be a good thing to discard this piece of music whose popularity is becoming unhealthy. It is sung in the streets, at social gatherings, at bars with live entertainment. It becomes debased and degenerated. The best would be to let it go its own way, far from the houses of religion, which can do very well without it." So that's actually what the committee that was choosing the songs to be sung in the church said. No, we are banning this song. But the song was still popular and it still kept being sung. Now, it could have gone away, but then another gentleman, whose name is John Sullivan Dwight, he's an American man. He's traveling. He hears the song in France, and he goes, hang on a minute. This song is actually quite special, because within the words of the song was something that for John Sullivan Dwight, as a Christian, he was very passionate about. He was very passionate about the fact that at that time, there were people in America who owned slaves. So what would happen is the ships would go to Africa. They would take people from Africa, rip them away from their homes, their families, put them on a ship, treat them like animals, basically terribly, treat them terribly, and take them to America where they were forced to work as slaves. And for John Sullivan Dwight, he said, this is not right. As a Christian, I cannot accept this because every person is created in the image of God. What right do I have to go to someone else and make them my slave? This is so contrary to the gospel. This is so contrary to Jesus, the baby in the manger who came to bring light to the whole world. So how dare our world say that one set of people should have rulership over another set of people. So when John Sullivan Dwight heard the song, he said, hang on a minute, this song is the first carol that marries the facts of what happened on that very special time when the angels were singing with the call for us as followers of Jesus to break chains and break down barriers. So he said, this is an amazing song. I need to take this to America and I need to play it everywhere, is basically what he said. We need to play this because we need to end this brutality that's happening in our own country. And so as part of the abolitionist movement, and as a Christian, he stood up and said, this is wrong. And this song became one of the songs that was sung to remind people that, hang on a minute, we are actually all human beings and no person is better than another one because of the country they come from or the color of their skin. The song talks about equality. The song talks about the slave being on the same level as me, as my brother. Now, who knows what song we're talking about? Can you think what song this would be? What song mentions the fact that the slave is the brother? It's actually the song, Oh Holy Night, right? Because if you look at the words, it actually says, the slave is my brother. He says, chains shall he break, for the slave is my brother. And in his name, all oppression shall cease. Because when we look at the Christmas manger, we do see hope and joy and peace and love. And there is the promise that oppression can cease. Now, O Holy Night, interestingly, actually became the first song played on the radio. So when the radio was invented in the early 1900s, the first broadcast of human voice was a man reading from the Gospels about the Christmas story. And then he played the song, O Holy Night. So it was actually the first song played on the radio for our world was this song, O Holy Night. And you know, the song became so popular that at times, there was a time in war where someone began to sing on one side of the trench and the other side laid down their weapons and they actually sung carols together and had 24 hours of no shooting. That's how powerful that was the song that launched it. So this Christmas, may the light of Christmas shine on you as you let it transform your life and shine it to others. We're going to play a video now that talks about this.